Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved. Oh, I bet.
Amazing way. He's business's bad boy.
You're bad, and I like it.
Yep, he's one bad apple.
That's right, we're bad.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
Welcome back. It's 34 after the hour. Thank you very much for being part of our day, for being such a staunch supporter of all the things that we do. We appreciate it very much. If you just tuned in, welcome aboard. If you've been listening already, we consider that a sign of high intelligence. And I got some good news for you. You're going to get smarter. Because Anita Rosen is in the building, so to speak. Anita is one of our top e-commerce actually, that's not right. She's our top e-business expert because she's the person who explained to us what e-business is a long time ago. She is the author of E-Commerce Question and Answer Book. She was on the team that led, she actually led the team that created the very first e-business site for Netscape, and she's our good friend. Anita, welcome back to the show.
It's great to be here.
It's good to have you back. Anita, last time you were here, we talked about some of the Web 2.0 elements. And some people, I actually have one person who's a web expert, and he doesn't like Web 2.0. He'd rather call it the new internet. Well, I don't care what you call it. There's some new things going on out there, and it's not just about resources and features, it's about what's going on in the mind of the user, isn't it?
Well, what it is just a maturity of the web, and they've dubbed it Web 2.0, and everyone said, well, now where is that Web 2.0? I think there's two things, just to reiterate about Web 2.0, there's two things to remember. One is new technologies usually don't obsolete old ones in computers. The web didn't do away with PCs.
Right.
PCs didn't do away with servers. Servers
right.
didn't do away with mainframes. They're all there. It's just that it's the next layer.
Well, it's
so
like so many things.
Web 2.0 didn't do away with Web 1.0. It's just the maturity that the applications that you're now doing on the web are more mature, more involved. And what it is that they, so it's a maturing of the web. So you still have Web 1.0 applications, and I would say
right.
a search engine is a 1.0 application.
Right.
And 2.0 would be doing something like going to one of these sites where you can find out how much the price of any house in the country
mm-hmm.
is.
Mm-hmm.
Because what it is Web 2.0 is taking multiple applications and using them behind the scenes so that the end user, all you need to do is ask a very simple question. And the computers are the ones that are using the fancy applications behind
mm-hmm.
the scenes.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well,
keeping the interface simple for the end user, but providing more complex applications.
And also, isn't Web 2.0, instead of requiring users to come to us, isn't Web 2.0 more about pushing information that they've asked for to them?
Yeah, I mean, when we first came out with the web, we talked about push and pull technologies, and we had a lot of applications, but they were simple applications. And now we're getting more sophisticated with those type
mm-hmm.
of applications, so that, yes, very true. We've always talked about it, but it's now a more sophistication of those applications.
Well, I'm glad you said that 1.0 is still around, the original applications are still valid, because unfortunately, there are a lot of small business owners out there who maybe aren't even using the 1.0 stuff properly or effectively or at all. And so if we start talking about 2.0, you know, they're going to feel like they've gotten so far behind. Well, they might be a little bit behind, but it's not to say that they don't have time to catch up, because that's one thing about about cyberspace. You can catch up real quick, can't you?
Well, it's kind of like saying, I'll do an analogy with the phone system. And what you want to say is the phone in your house is phone 1.0 and a cell phone is 2.0.
Right.
Well, if you've never had a phone, I mean, if you go to some of these third world countries, they never have a phone. They skip over phone 1.0 and move to phone 2.0, the cell phone.
That's exactly right.
And
well,
most
well
of
said.
Us have 1.0 and 2.0. We have a phone in our house and we have a cell phone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's the same thing with the web. And you say, well, why do I need 2.0? Well, who knows if you need it? What it is if you have a presence on the web, what you're trying to do is solve a problem. And there's a whole bunch of different applications out there that you can use to solve the problem. And some of them are newer applications, and some of them are older applications. And what you need to look at is get on the web, go to other sites, see what, how they've solved it, and say, hey, what they did, would that work for me?
Mm-hmm. Well, and our friend Dan Burris says, it's not either or, it's both and.
Yeah.
And that's what you're saying. When we come back, we're going to talk about some of the elements of Web 2.0. We're going to talk about wikis and blogs and podcasts and things like that, because Anita Rosen is the expert in these things. She's going to talk to us about how we can use them in our business. 22. Anita Rosen and I will be right back. Stay with us. Welcome back. There's Richie Valenzuela for you, actually also known as Richie Valens, the late, great Richie Valens, one of the great rock and roll songs of all time. 17 Till, Anita Rosen is our guest, one of the great ladies of all time, and an outstanding member of our Brain Trust, the author of the e-commerce question and answer book. Anita, give us your website, please.
AnitaRosen.com.
That's pretty darn easy to do. Hurry that. And there's only one N in Anita, by the way, folks. You probably are, Anita. And one S in Rosen. Anita, we're talking about Web 2.0. And I want you to talk to us about what you consider some of the elements of Web 2.0.
So, some of the new technologies. We were saying when we came back, we're going to talk about wikis and blogs and podcasts, things like that. Most people don't even know what wikis and blogs are.
well, maybe blogs, but not wikis.
Define what they are. So what a wiki is really, it's kind of like an encyclopedia on the web.
Where did that name come from?
I have no idea.
Somebody told me once, and I forgot what it is. Go ahead. I that's the first time, folks, in probably about 7 years, it's the first time I've ever stumped Anita. Go ahead, Anita.
So it's an encyclopedia. Wikipedia is probably the one that, if you go to wikipedia.com and you type in a word and it has, like an encyclopedia.
And that's W-I-K-I, by the way, wiki, just like it sounds. Go ahead.
Right, and you could type that in, and you could type in almost any word or anything out there, and it will come back. And what it is instead of an encyclopedia that some bright guys created sitting in an academic environment, it's created by the end users.
The trouble I got with wikis, though.
We're going to create a wiki because we have all of this information inside the company that people don't know. Mm-hmm. And we can have all the employees create an encyclopedia as opposed to hiring a couple bright people to sit down and create one. We'll
right.
let everyone create one.
Sort of an internal policy manual, an internal brain brain dump of all the things that everybody knows.
Right. So you can create an encyclopedia. If you've worked mm-hmm. for a larger company, there's a lot of terms and terminology that are used
right.
within that company. And you have a new person that comes in, and no matter how long you've been in business, you walk in, and every company has their own words.
But in a true wiki, anybody can go in and change what was written before. Doesn't that get out of hand?
That's one of the big issues is who's the librarian? So for companies, I talk to a lot of companies about this, and I say, first of all, do you have an environment where people are going to do that, where they're going to create? Or are they so busy doing their job that they don't really have time or care to start creating your encyclopedia?
Mm-hmm.
That's number one. Number two is, who is going to do it? Is it the bright guy that's going to do it, or is it the wacko guy that's going to be doing it? And number three is, who's going to be ensuring that it's correct?
Right.
So you need to now have a librarian.
Does Wikipedia have a librarian?
Well, what they have is, because there's so many people out there in the web, just think of how many billions of people are in the world.
Yeah.
And then a percentage of that have computers. So you've got people worldwide. And then there's other people that come on and say, wait, that's not correct, so that they can get things going.
And if they're off their meds, who knows what you're going to get?
Right. So you get some real wacko stuff, and then other people come on and say, wait a second, this isn't correct. And then it highlights what's right and what's wrong, and there'll be a whole issue. Well, do you have that kind of time within companies? I mean, small businesses say, this is beyond me.
That's right.
But it might be something within your industry that you get one of these going. But who has the time to get these things going?
Mm-hmm.
That's what I ask for business point of view. That it worked for the web. And the reason wikis have become this hot thing is these guys a couple years ago said, well, wouldn't it be cool to do our own little encyclopedia? And there's so many people that got into entering data that everyone looked around and said, wow, I didn't realize that people would be that into it. It's like, well, yes, when you have the whole world as your access point.
Mm-hmm.
But when you now move to a smaller access point, like a company or an industry, are you going to get that many people?
See, I hadn't thought about, you gave us an idea today that I hadn't thought about, which you always do, which is not that hard for me. But you get the idea of having an internal Wikipedia. That's a great idea. That's a genius idea. I mean, this as they say in the beer commercial, that's brilliant.
But, wish I came up with it, but
but you're the one who told us about it, and
yes.
And the thing is I mean, think about that, folks. Think about, I guess what I'm getting at, Anita, is what if you use the Wikipedia as a platform to get the information out of your employee's head, whereas without that kind of a fun kind of a platform, you know, maybe it would sound like it was homework or something.
Yeah, but the issue then is do you have the corporate culture? Do you have the kind of people that are going to go and put that information up there?
And, but maybe you do and you don't know it.
Maxed out and say, the last thing I have time to do is sit there and write for this corporate wiki.
Right. Well, and there are people out there who seem to have nothing else to do. But let's move over and talk about
something. You want to be one of your employees.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. All right, so what about blogs?
Well, blogs are similar to a news group, and what a news group is, it's just a maturity of the same type of technology. What they all are is pretty much based on email. And instead of sending an email from one person to the next, when you have a news group, you send the email to a website, and it gets posted. And then someone else can read it. What a blog is now you're sending it, and you know, every day, every 3 days, what it turns out to be is a journal that someone can go on and read.
But it's typically from one person that other people come to read.
You're not sending it to another person, you're sending it to a website.
And they come to and get it.
The problem with all of this.
Hold on to that thought, Anita. We've got to take a quick break because we have to do a little commerce here. It's 10 till. Anita Rosen is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame, and she and I will be right back. Welcome back. It's 17. No, it's 7 till. Not 17. 7 till. 07. 53 after the hour. You'd think I'd learn how to tell time after all these years, wouldn't you, folks? Anita Rosen is our guest. I'm Jim Blasingame. Anita's book is called The E-Commerce Question and Answer Book, Second Edition. That means the first one was really good and the next one's better. And so I encourage you to check it out, folks. It will educate you beyond your wildest imagination. And also her website is AnitaRosen.com, right? And my website is smallbusinessadvocate.com. Anita is all over our website. She's contributed so much to us over the years. And Anita, for that, we thank you.
Oh, my pleasure.
We're talking about blogs and some of the other elements of Web 2.0. A lot of people know about blogs. And basically, blogs are your journal of what's going on in your life. What are you thinking? What's your attitude? And you post that. It might just be, you know, what you had for lunch, or it might be your opinion of what it takes for world peace, right?
Right. And some people care to read that, and some people say, why would I want to spend my time reading that?
Right, right. And you find the people who have something to say that you would want to read.
And there are a few of those out there.
There are one or two.
There's a couple of them out there that have something. And typically what you're finding is they're professionals, professional writers.
That's right.
Professional journalists.
Mm-hmm.
And people are interested in the subject they're writing in. And every once in a while you'll get an amateur who moves to the professional level because they write clearly and concisely and are interesting and have critical thinking skills. But a lot of it out there, there's just a lot of drivel out there.
Now, our blog... I have a blog, Jim's blog, which is at our website, but also at jimsblog.com. Jim'sblog.biz, I think it is. Anyway, our blog is different from a lot of people because ours includes the four interviews I do every day.
Right, so you're a professional, and that's what I find.
Yeah.
That people are very interested. What sifts to the top is usually professional information.
Mm-hmm. Right, absolutely. What about some of the other elements?
Blogs or podcasts? I mean, podcasts fall into everyone's talking about podcasts, and I talk to businesses, and they're like, oh, we're going to do podcasts on our website. Well, if you're talking about why are you doing it, if you're talking about training people, 10% of people are oral learners. So only 10% of people are going to learn by hearing. 90% are not. So that's one consideration. The second is there's the big benefit of podcast over, 10 years ago, you would have been given a cassette tape and said, listen to this product description in your car. And I used to do that. I put it in the car. When I got to work, I'd be like, wow, I have no idea what they said after hello. My brain would go out. Now, I love the radio. I'm always listening to talk radio.
Thank you.
So what is the difference between them giving me a cassette that I had to listen to that I can't remember or talk radio, and I would go into work and say, wow, I heard the most interesting thing on the radio? The level of being professional people who are on the radio, there's a reason they've been able to last on the radio. They know how to be interesting. They know how to be engaging. They know how to structure a session so that's interesting and engaging. Mm-hmm. Not everyone is a good interviewer. Not everyone knows how to do this.
So if you want to do a blog and you're not a professional, you need to hire somebody to do it for you, don't you?
Well, or
I don't mean a blog. I mean a podcast.
Yeah. What I'm saying for businesses is if you want it, the benefit of podcast is the benefit is to the creator because it's very easy. Virtually no cost to get it out there. You don't have to produce all these cassettes that you have to send out to people. They could just come, they could download it, they can either listen to it on their PC or they can listen to it on their iPod. And for someone like Jim, like you, it's wonderful because if someone is a fan and they missed your show, you could post your show up there, they could download it, and they can listen to it at a later date. So it's wonderful. Where I find podcasts work really well is in a professional environment when you've had professionals who know how to use audio. So that people don't fall asleep.
Right. Now the issue is, though, to me, you talk about 10% learned by hearing. The thing is, though, there's still a lot of people out there who don't use the podcast technology.
Right. Right.
And the blog technology.
And then also you need to look at the age group. I mean, if you're going after people under the age of 25, I bet 90% of them have an iPod. If they don't have one, they're going to get one next week.
Anita, thank you for being here. We got to wrap it up. What's the cat's name?
My cat. You can hear my cat.
What's the cat?
Cleo. Cleopatra.
Cleo. Well, tell Cleo happy Hanukkah.
Thank you.
Thank you, Anita, for being here. We call that ambiance on the show here, Anita. Thank you for being here. Happy Hanukkah to you and your family, and we'll see you next time.
Okay, thank you.
Anita Rosen, ladies and gentlemen. I'm Jim Blasingame, and I'll see you later.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.